This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Live from Avenida, Houston, getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back here as we are live, and we are downtown right across the street from the George R. Brown Convention Center, where the Texans draft party is going to get started here a little bit later on. It's going to be a great time. Last year we had a really good time here, and they have this whole street taken up, a big stage at the front end, at the end of it, and it's always a great time. As the gates open at 6:30, you can meet Texans legends that'll be around here. As Toro will be around here, the mascot, cheerleaders, and you can come and stop by here. We'll be walking around as well, but stop by here and meet many of your favorite Sports Radio 610 personalities, food trucks, beverages for adults and your young kids. They will be available. So it will just be a good time here as you can sit and enjoy things and see exactly where the Texans are going to go. But again, come on down here, have a good time. I see them. They got, if you're looking for them drinks, they got it right across from us, right here. Clint, I think they got a Wolf Killer over there. They got them drinks set up. They waiting for you to get to them.
See any dirty water?
Not yet, but I'm certain it is here.
Still waiting on my pictures of the new merch, too. I'll be on the lookout for that.
I don't see any out here. There's not any out here.
No, I wasn't even being an ass. I figured it wasn't out yet, but if you see it, I'm going to be waiting on that.
Hold on, Tyler. What? He said I wasn't even being an ass.
I wasn't.
The way you said it, though.
People say I say things like an ass sometimes.
Still waiting on my picture of the new merch. But I'm not saying it today.
Oh, yeah. I figured they're not rolling that out till closer to gates open. But as soon as y'all see it, if they get it out early.
Can I be honest with you? I damn near forgot about that picture thing that I promised. I'm glad you reminded me. I will be on the hunt.
Number one in the country, baby.
There it is. I will be on the hunt right there. But, but no, you can get new merch, as Tyler said, he is looking to get as well. So come on down and have a good time here as the Texans get ready for this draft party tonight. They got pick number 25 right now. We'll see if that's where they stay. But Clint, you know Daniel Jeremiah, one of the top guys when it comes to the draft and his mock drafts and how he sees the draft going, and he's a guy, Clint, that makes educated guesses. He has conversations with people, and not just, hey, I'm just guessing, this is what makes sense. No, he does about what makes sense and what he's hearing from teams. And Clint, this is what Daniel Jeremiah had to say. It is very direct and to the point about where he sees the Texans going at 25.
But what if they added Emeka Ubuka?
CJ Stroud might have something to say about that. I don't know. CJ would like, I would like to be a little better protected than I was last year, but I wouldn't mind throwing to my friend in Emeka Ubuka.
I think you need for them.
Yeah, I think I would have to take Banks. I have a little higher grade on Ubuka. It's close, but I don't see how they leave that round without an offensive lineman. So I'm going to go offensive lineman.
Okay.
Not to mention, I was told the Houston Texans will not pass on Banks if he was there.
All right, there he is. He talked about Banks. Also, he talked about Booker as well. He said Banks and Booker, those guys, as he said, the Texans will not pass on Banks. He believes it's going to be an offensive lineman. They are not leaving round one without an offensive lineman. Clint believes Banks right there, or Booker, Do you believe that? Do you see that as the case for the Texans? Not just you, but do you see that for the Texans, that it is priority for them to come out of here with one of those linemen? That's what their priority is.
Yeah, it's got to be, man. That would be my strong opinion either way it goes. But hearing what D'Amico said, what we've watched him do on defense, what he said as soon as the season was over when it was fresh on his mind, it would be a crying-ass shame if they go into the 2025-26 season and we get half the games under our belt and CJ once again is the most pressured quarterback in the game. And you addressed O-line the way you did in free agency. And then you didn't use your most premium pick when you had an opportunity to go get a top-end offensive lineman, whether it's a tackle or a guard or a tackle/guard, you don't go get that guy. I just think you're not making an honest effort. You're not making a fair effort to make sure he's protected. I don't think you're doing right by your quarterback if you don't. So I can't go anywhere but offensive line. And I'll be honest with you, it would be – I mean, he's talking like Banks is going to be available at 25. Hell, and Booker's going to be available at 25.
Booker might be. I don't think Banks is. Well, I mean, if they love him, they got to go up and get him.
Yeah, if the Texans are as high on Booker as they are, for the reasons that they are as high on Booker as they are, the odds are there's other teams that are going to be extremely high on Booker as well. And so I like the Gray Zabel kid out of North Dakota State, or is it South Dakota State?
North Dakota State.
There's a couple of other kids out there interior offensive line-wise, but if this is the guy that is just tied to the Texans, this is the guy we want. Will Anderson's that high on him. It's hard for me to think that nobody in the top 24 is going to be as high on or have a need for an interior offensive lineman that's that damn good. The Texans may have to move to go get him.
What's the thought about getting a Banks and moving him inside?
I don't like it just simply because it's not what he's played. I'm not saying he can't do it. I would just prefer have a guy that is built like a guard, that has been a guard since day one, that can, or at least finished his college career, you know, playing the guard position, that has that mentality, that dog, that playing in tight space kind of power and skill set. I would prefer that, my biggest – pet peeve or my biggest need here is just, man, you got to do something that gives you a chance to protect C.J. Stroud better immediately. I'm not going to be disappointed if it's not Booker, if it's attack. I'm not going to be disappointed if it's either one of them. If you get either one of those guys, hell, this is a great day.
It's a great –
I think it's a great day. Now, the conversation for us changes of, okay, now what are you doing at guard? What is Titus Howard going to do? How's this going to work? But, for me, if they use their most premium draft pick on an offensive lineman, you can't look at that any other way other than that they're doing everything they can to protect C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, it feels like from the mocks – that Booker, there's much more of a chance that Booker is there at 25 if they stayed there. Not seeing him jump up a lot here. We've actually seen the kid from North Dakota State and many mocks here of late going above him right now. So I do think if Booker is the guy that they love, he's there. Banks, though, if you love Banks, that's fine. To me, if you love Banks, play Banks at tackle. Like, if you're going to draft him, draft for tackle. Now, I think it is – it's interesting. It seems like their offseason has set themselves up to find an interior O-lineman because of what they have done at the tackle spot. But if you love him at tackle and you think he should be the right tackle, then he'll draft him at right tackle. If you love him at right tackle and you think – I don't love the thought of – because I don't think you're getting Banks at 25. Not everything we're seeing. I think you got to go up to get Banks. I don't love the thought, Clint, of going up to go get Banks to give up ammo to changing positions.
Yeah,
right? I don't know that when to me, like, what's your grade on Banks as a guard compared to Booker?
Right. Well, you got to think if they take him, you got to think that the ceiling's higher. But look, I would, if I had it my way, I'd go Booker or Zabel, whichever one of those guys is available, whether it's a 25 or close to 25, and you got to move to go get him. That for me would. you know, there's still a level of you just got to trust that these guys are evaluating the right way, that this isn't a Kenyon Green situation. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the effort for me. It's not about Nick hitting on it. Hell yeah, I would like Nick to hit on it. Absolutely. I'd like for him to hit on every one of his draft picks. But for me right now, if I'm C.J. Stroud, hey, man, I hear you talking about needing to protect me. I hear you talking about it, but it doesn't seem like the effort that you're putting forth is protecting me from the inside out the way that, you know, I need to be protected in order to give me a chance to win. And finding a way to get one of those guys, Booker is able, one of those two guys, the top guards in this draft, that would be the effort you're looking for.
Tesla, or YouTube and Twitch, Kick Rocks, says you go get him being
Booker?
No, I'm sorry, not Booker, but P and Banks. You go get Kelvin Banks, and you play him at guard this year, and then he's your left tackle for the future. And I guess that's an option to have him play two different positions, and then move him into the most important position across the offensive line.
I'll be honest. I don't like the plan. I don't like the plan. You know, we watched a guy this year in Kansas City, Joe Tooney, be one of the best in the league at the guard position.
Yeah.
Coming into the season, then he has a swing out and play tackle, and he plays a good tackle until he doesn't, right? Until it matters. And I'm not saying that's on him. Hell, that he could probably play tackle or guard. Hell, he proved it last year. He could play tackle or guard in this league and be fine. But I just don't like the convos around, like, man, there's this flip-flopping guard to tackle stuff.
Laramie Tunsil's maybe one of the only people. I'm sure there are others, but the ones that come to mind that's been really successful. When he went to Miami, at first they had him inside, and then he kicked out to tackle, and he has played tackle. He started inside, but I don't.
But how good was he? I don't remember. I'm just asking, how good was he inside? And then and if that answer was he was good at both places, okay, you're talking about the highest paid tackle in the game two different times over the last 4 years,
and a guy that only dropped in the teens because of the mass.
Right. So you're talking about a unicorn. You're talking about one of one. You're talking about one of four in the entire country.
Now, Kelvin Banks may be that. I don't know.
I just don't like that plan. I don't like. If you're a team that's in a position to go, hey, let's bring this guy in, we can play him at guard until we need to slide him to tackle him. I don't think that's the Texans. The Texans are a team that needs to figure out what the hell they're going to do with their interior offensive line, period. I mean, this is an experimental time.
And by the way, tell me if I'm wrong. Am I off on this? Didn't Kelvin Banks play right tackle at Texas?
I think he played both.
Did he switch and play both? Okay, I just distinctly remember him lining up.
I can't remember what he played in the bowl game.
I don't know. Maybe Texas fans can help me out. I don't know. I remember him being. I just remember Georgia just whooping his ass on the right side in my mind. And I'm thinking the reason why I bring that up is he would have played a lot of mostly right tackle in college, and then come in and play guard to then move to left tackle.
Yeah, I'm less worried. A tackle is a tackle, and swinging from left to right, if you commit to
not
it,
not that big of a deal. Okay.
It's the skill set that I'm. It's the skill set that I'm. You know, those guys are typically built different. They have a different mentality. Their strength needs to be playing in space and playing on an island. You know, where the guard is just totally different, right? I mean, not that pad level doesn't matter, but pad level matters less outside as it does inside. I mean, it's just a whole different. So then, obviously, your flexibility is different. Your everything is totally different to me. So this thought, and look, and Kelvin Banks may be the guy that can do it left, right, inside, outside. I don't know, but the thought of like, hey man, we're just, especially if you're the Texans, right? We're just not in that position right now. The Eagles, you know, maybe they are in a position to say, hey, man, let's draft somebody that we can – it's our future tackle, but let's work them inside kind of thing. Like, right now, the Texans have a major problem of protecting their quarterback, and they've got to get it right. They need to get a guard in there. The experimental and the thought that we as fans have, because we watched Titus Howard do it, that guys can just swing inside and out, and it's easy, and it's just it's a good plan, because one of the best – pass blocking tackles the game has seen in the last 15 years. Laramie Tunsil can, you know, did it when he first got in. Like, that is that's a slippery slope for me.
Yep. Text line coming in. Banks was the left tackle at Texas. Okay. All right. I don't know. I thought I remembered him playing on the right side at Texas at some point. But left tackle at Texas. So at least that's better that he has played. Someone texted Victor, said no, he played left tackle. And we whooped, and he whooped Georgia's ass. I don't know. Georgia dominated their offensive line, at least in that game in Austin. All right, coming up as we continue here on the draft, we'll continue with the Texans and continue with the draft as we roll through here till 6 o'clock. But I do want to talk about the biggest moment of the game last night against the Warriors, and maybe not just of the game, but it may be the biggest moment of the series. We'll discuss that coming up.
You're gonna get hard.
Live from Avenida, Houston, getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive, and we are on the road as we are at the draft party right across the street from the George R. Brown Convention Center. It will be a good time, and as I said, they are getting this thing set up, and it is
when you get a chance to party.
Yeah, Dusty. I don't know if Dusty will be here, but it is a type of party I think Dusty would be into. They got his wine, I believe. I'm looking over there. I think they got Dusty's wine. I'm not sure. It's a little far away. looks like the Baker family wine. No, that bottle has too much stuff on it. So, it is going to be a good time, and you should step out here and have a good time with us. All right, Clint. I know we talked about Jalen Green, and Jalen Green was the player, the star of the game. But realistically, I think the biggest conversation coming out of the game, arguably right there with Jalen Green and his performance, is the biggest moment of the series, the biggest moment of the game last night, the biggest moment of the series, and I would argue right now the biggest moment of the playoffs, and that is the play in the first quarter with just over 2 minutes left, when Jimmy Butler went down, which they're calling a pelvic contusion. I don't know how that went through the tailbone and everything else that he hit, but Jimmy Butler falls or gets undercut by Amen Thompson, and he tries to. I think he went up maybe one or two times, went to the line. You could tell he wasn't in a good spot, and then he immediately exited after one defensive possession and never came back. He missed the rest of the game. Really no word right now on him. Steve Kerr didn't really have any big words to see where he is. But he is clearly not 100%. And, Clint, judging by that fall, it was interesting, right? It was between the two. It was Amen Thompson on the ground, who's, what, 20, 21? And then Jimmy Butler, who's 36. And I remember Brian Anderson, who was doing the game for TNT, said, Amen Thompson is up, but Jimmy Butler's not. And I'm thinking that 36-year-old dude who fell that hard like that, that's going to be some problems, and it's just going to get worse and worse, Clint. I don't – and we'll see what happens. Game three is Sunday. But, Clint, I think this completely changes things in this series, and potentially for whatever chances Golden State had in making a run, because I don't see how in any way – he's going to be 100%. Like, even if he tries to make a run of it the rest of the way, I just don't see how that was just something that goes away in 2 days or 3 days.
Well, you hope it. I mean, look, I mean, it's hard for me to hope that the good news is that he can play, because I want the Rockets to win.
I know many people want him to be 100% healthy. Remember, we were talking to people last. Yeah, they don't want the easiest road.
I'm no fool, but that just strikes me as one of those SI, something's out of place. You got it. Hopefully, it's just something's out of place. The muscle spasms didn't allow him to get back in the game. By the time he got it right, it was a 20-point game, and they're like, man, why the hell even chance it at this point in time? So hopefully for his sake, that's what it was. They get everything back in alignment, that from a muscular standpoint, they can work that thing out, and he could very well be maybe not 100, but damn near 100%. Now, if it's something with his back and his pelvic and his hips and all this kind of stuff.
Because you had nothing to stop you like a back.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's just, I mean, when it gets into nerves and into back and the disc and all that kind of crap,
yeah,
I don't care how tough you are or you're not. You can't. Yeah. You can shoot it up.
Is there a shot? I was about to say, is there a shot?
Oh yeah, hell yeah! You can shoot anything. You numb any nerve, and it'll go away for the. I just don't know that one playoff game is worth
it
for
Jimmy at 36.
When he started walking like he had a doo doo, like that's when I knew, like, oh man, my man is hurt.
Yeah, that's a bad deal. But look, there's no question about it. You watch that game last night. Now I will say this: I don't want in any way, shape, or form minimize how that game started with Jimmy Butler in the game. The Rockets were up. They were up eight when
he got out.
I mean, they were start to finish with and without Jimmy Butler. That was convincing as hell. And look, Golden State was able to stick around, get the game back to 10, get it back to 8, get it back to 12 a couple of times in the second half. But when you look at this deal, I think the Rockets have a huge advantage from a depth perspective anyway with Jimmy Butler. Just a sheer number of bodies that they can roll out there that can impact the game, not just bodies. We saw last night that Golden State's got some depth, but it's just warm bodies they can roll out there. I mean,
Jimmy out, it's done.
It's done. It's so the depth play is what happens. I think Steph can go out there and manufacture and muster his way through a good half of basketball and make enough shots to keep you in a series, but I don't think he can win one. So without Jimmy, you're missing a superstar. Now that depth obviously comes into play where there was already a big advantage, Rockets. The physicality comes into play, which Jimmy was a player that you would think could fight through that. Maybe he's even better when the physicality is present.
And a big thing, Clint, is like it's the non-Steph minutes.
Oh, yeah. When he's on the floor, it's ugly.
And when it's the non-Steph minutes, it was Jimmy. And so then you can run everything through Jimmy, and Jimmy can do what he did when he helped lead the Miami Heat to the finals.
Yeah.
When Steph had to go get rest, they were bringing that lacrosse player from Northwestern out there.
Well, but that's the thing too is you think about the rest, yes, but the minutes, the time on task, the minutes on the court for Steph are significantly more grueling without Butler in the game. Like he moves a lot. But now, all of a sudden, he is just the overall focal point. If you watch that game last night, when he got the ball in the second half in critical moments, anyway, I think the Rockets got a little bit loose and a little bit flippant there early in the second half. And I'm thinking, hey, that is Steph Curry. Y'all ass might want to tighten up a little bit.
That one stretch where they were just trading threes.
They're all walking up the floor, and they're just everybody standing outside the three-point line, and they're just kind of, you can tell, they're milking the clock and trying to get that second half to get over as quick as they possibly can. I didn't necessarily like that, but luckily Jalen Green, we just kept hitting daggers, and it didn't matter. But if you watch how the Rockets defended them once Butler went out in critical moments, I mean, they would dedicate two and three bodies to Steph, and at times they left guys wide open underneath the bucket. I mean, catch and dunk type stuff. So if that is the defense that you can deploy and stop Steph Curry and they don't have any other answers and the wide open guy under the bucket from time to time, then the Rockets are going to run away with this one. So we'll see what happens with Jimmy Butler. But you're right. Right now, that's all NBA playoff eyes are on Jimmy Butler and what he does.
Glenn, I think if he's 75%, they potentially got a problem. Because this is a guy that you could look at and say, man, especially with Steph out there, and I'm, like, this is a guy that's probably a consistent 25-point guy for him. And if that is diminished at all, it's tough for them to find other places to score. And you talked about every time when he was out, when Steph got the ball, they were playing and making it difficult on Steph anyway. But they said last night when Jimmy Butler left the final three quarters of the game, that is the most that Steph Curry's ever been double-teamed in a playoff game. Like, ever.
Yeah.
Ever with that. I mean, obviously, you've had Klay and Kevin Durant and, you know, all these years, and, you know, Jimmy and this. But that's the most he's ever been double-teamed ever in the playoffs, because there's nobody else that put fear in you. Nobody else. Buddy Hield can't make a shot. The other kid was sick that we talked about. And then no Jimmy out there. That is a problem. All right, coming up, I did want to get to this about that series we ran out here. Let's talk about this. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Jump in on this when we come back. Well, look at what the Astros did is they had a big series sweep over the Blue Jays. But we saw what happened with Jimmy. We saw that game yesterday in the first two games. Do you think this series is too physical? Do you think the game is being called in a way where it is too physical between the Warriors and the Rockets? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from Avenida, Houston, getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on the road here for the Texans draft party. And it is getting going here. It is going to be a great, great weekend here. And it starts today. And there is nobody, and I mean nobody, covering the Texans draft as well as we are here. We will be here as we are looking at it today, and we will also hand things off to Mark Vandermeer, John Harris and company, as they will hold it down the entirety of the draft, not just today with the first round, but they'll also have day two tomorrow and into Saturday. And they will let you know. And listen, as Clint, you know it, Tyler knows it, and if you listen at all, you would know, John Harris, I don't know if he sleeps around this time. I think he just goes through every – I think John Harris will know every single player that is drafted.
I'm slinging
not seven. Not just for the Texans. I mean, for every single player, and have something about him, a memory, as he goes and studies this thing as well as anybody. So you're in great hands when it comes to an expert in John Harris. Mark Vandermeer, the voice, obviously, as well. Sean Pendergast, I know, we'll be involved in it also, so stay tuned right here. And somebody did just text in and say, where are you guys at tomorrow? You're right. We're on the road today. We will be out and about as we continue our crawfish circuit. This will be the fourth leg, not just the third one, but the fourth leg of our 610 crawfish circuit. And it does take us up north, and it takes us to Blue Water Seafood. Blue Water Seafood, our great friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors. By the way, you can get your Jordan gear. And our great friends at Bud Light also are helping us put that together. It is on the northwest side up Highway 290. So come on out and hang out with us tomorrow. Get you some good crawfish, some great conversation. We'll break down everything that the Texans will have done today and everything that we are looking for them to do tomorrow as the draft continues in the second and third round. So it'll be a great, great time tomorrow as well at Blue Water Seafood up north, right up 290. So come hang out with us as well then. All right, Clint, I posed this this question to the people, and I see some people have responded on YouTube and Twitch and on the text line. As you watch this, Clint, do you feel like this series between the Rockets and the Warriors, and it does feel a little bit more physical than others. We heard Stan Van Gundy, who is somebody I think loves physicality. How many times did he make reference to how physical this game is? On the play that Jimmy Butler got hurt, he said, this thing has everything. He at one point said Tom Izzo text him, the head coach of Michigan State, who nothing is too physical, text him and said, damn, this game is physical. Like, are you watching it and thinking this thing is pushed across the line of being too physical?
Not in the way that I think most people would take too physical. I don't mind the physical play. I don't mind the hacking. I don't mind the refs letting them play, as long as it's fair and it's called that way on both ends of the floor, and it's called that way for four quarters of basketball. I'm one that appreciates the better defense. I appreciate a little bit more physicality allowed. If I were going to lean one direction, I would lean towards allowing the physicality. My beef with the physicality that's being allowed is all the stuff between plays ultimately. a guy, you know, there's a change of possession under the bucket, and somebody turns to run up the sideline, and all of a sudden somebody's waiting on him, and it's just a push and out of bounds. Or
you talk about when Draymond and Dylan Brooks met each other.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, and it's such a over-the-top just – and it leads to stuff in play that I think is unnecessary.
And like so, Jalen Green and
well, I mean, it's like the whole Fred VanVleet and again at the very end with him and Draymond Green getting chest to chest and
into a technical because Tari Eason decided to throw a towel at the Northwestern lacrosse player.
Yeah. So which is great. If that was what he was aiming for, great. He wrapped it right around his face.
I mean, he nailed it.
It wrapped right around his face.
I talked to B. Scott about it. He said, "No, Pat Spencer." Like, that, by the way, that did Courtney in. Courtney had to do a full deep dive on Pat Spencer. Like, she was there 15 minutes just sprouting out. Did you know this boy played lacrosse? He played his last
year. No, but I believe it.
And you talked about 51. No, he was 61. He had that right guard number out there playing with that T-shirt underneath him. But no, he did. He squared him up right in the face. Yeah. But a silly technical that he got that got caused by the face to face.
Yeah, it's more of the silly stuff. Like I know you making comparisons over the last few days about how, you know, like in the old school way of playing basketball, and I get, like, I don't mind that as much as the stuff in between that and really Draymond's the one that does most of it. It's him trying to get Tari Eason to get a technical and trying to get Fred VanVleet to do something stupid that cost him a game, or, you know, so it's really Draymond. That's the part of the physicality and the shoving and pushing and fighting and elbowing that I don't like. It makes it a tough watch for me.
Yeah, I just, for me, and I know some people might call me soft or whatever here, it is not as an enjoyable watch for me. I just think it's I am one that likes to see the athletes like Jalen Green have the freedom to to run. Steph to run, you know, like and I think it's going both ways, right? I think they get, you know, Draymond's pushing the limits. I think Dylan Brooks is pushing the limits on his end. I mean,
I watched Fred VanVleet last night before they were fixing the Warriors player didn't even have the ball out of bounds yet. They were fixing to inbound it, and he's on the left side of Steph Curry. He's got his arm all the way around him, and he's got his shorts bunched up on his right hip. Like, and they're just standing there looking at it,
just
like,
watching it. Yeah,
and Steph's complaining about it, but like that's the kind of stuff that's like, come on, man. Like, that's not even.
But you couldn't. But that's nothing that you could do in the regular season.
Yeah,
like, know what I mean. Yeah. Like, and I could, like, for me, like, you know, I don't mind the physicality. I just think it's when you let some go, and now it don't seem like there's a line. It seems like you can just roll through, and I think it leads to, like, I was listening to San Francisco today. And, you know, they had the, do you think the Amen Thompson play was a dirty play? I don't think it was a dirty play at all. Right? I think he lost his balance. And I think he was just playing hard and going hard and lost his balance and undercut him. I don't think it was malicious at all. But I do think the physicality that they're allowing to be played, I think it lends to everyone being on edge and everyone pushing the limits of what they could do.
It to me, like, take that play, and I don't think I agree. I don't think it was dirty at all.
No, I don't think it was.
But he was bracing to push two dudes that were bigger than him. One of them being our own damn player from the back. Like, he was fixing to play a physical brand of basketball in a rebound stance and fixing to lean into these guys in a way. And they split, and he fell straight forward into Jimmy Butler's legs. And so it was a result of allowing the guys to play almost recklessly.
Getting close to that.
I think
we reached.
Well, there's some guys that don't need a lot of help to be reckless. I mean, there's, you know, that's just how they play.
There's at least two guys, one on each team, that's walking in with a little, like, I think it's on both sides. I see the text line is rolling in, Draymond. I think it's on both sides. Like, I'll watch. Like, to me, Alfred Şengün, every time he gets the ball in the paint.
Yeah.
It is a forearm. He gets fouled every time he gets it to the paint. Like, it's a forearm, and they kind of take his legs out. But then, like, I mean, what they're allowing And the Rockets should keep trying to do it, but what they're allowing the Rockets to get away with Steph trying to come off screens, described before he even gets, like, they got Dillon on one where, I mean, he did it for so long you just had him wrapped around. It's just like that stuff they got to chill out. And I do think, Clint, it's going to lead. I talked to Brandon earlier today. He said there's going to be a fight. They're leading to that. That there is going to be.
I'm gonna tell you, if Butler doesn't play, like if they realize they're gonna be without Butler for a couple of games or even the rest of the series,
Draymond's gonna hunt somebody.
No question. Like he's gonna do it on purpose. He's gonna.
I think some of their guys are gonna take it up a notch. I think Gary Payton's kid is one that can take it up a notch. I think we know Draymond will.
Kuminga's another one that plays on the edge of reckless too.
Yeah, he's learned. But the thing is, now the Rockets are not scaring, and I think they have guys that will do it too. But I don't think that's the route for them to go. I don't know what the officials are looking, because you have to look at this game, and there to me is a deal of like, all right, guys, maybe we need to reel it in a little bit. But I don't know. I don't know how the game is going to be called in Game 3 moving forward, because to me that was too physical.
Well, I agree, but I think if they allow it, I think it's advantage Rockets. You're deeper. I think you're used to that physical play. You more so than any other team in the league has been playing at that level all year long, and I think your guys are used to it. Let's be honest. You don't have anybody on your team. That's the caliber of Steph Curry, and if you can take Steph Curry out of a game or at least get him frustrated throughout a game because they're allowing you to be so physical, that is a huge plus for the Rockets. And so, look, I mean, whether they tighten it up or, I guess, loosen it up or not, I think it's advantage Rockets. I'll be cool if they do, but if they don't, let's ride.
Yeah, text line coming in, the last two texts, F the series, just win every fight. Come on, y'all! It's the playoffs. Toughen up. It's this ain't a toughen up thing. It's just to me. I just like to me. It's basketball, right? Like you're not supposed to be allowed. Like that's not what the game is. To just absolutely. I saw that.
That man just walked up and picked up them damn strings and walked off.
And just walked off. I guess he's going to use them for something. He got about four of them. I thought he was going to take the ones off the desk there for a second. But, no, I mean, it's just, like, to me, that's just not what the game is. And I think it takes away from, to me, like, guys like Jalen Green, the athlete that he is, to be able to have the freedom of movement, which is supposed to be a thing, right? And, to me, it's just so far away from how the game is normally played for 82 games. It's just silly to me. Like, I mean, like, if you're allowed to hold on to somebody's shorts while they're taking a jump shot, and then it's a no call. Like, we're just walking back. Like, come on, guys. And again, it is not just the Rockets and the Warriors. The Rockets and the Warriors seem to, with Jeff Van Gundy, I bet you he made no less than 20 references to how physical the game is.
I was watching it on mute because I had a 1-year-old in my life.
Oh, my God. It was over and over. Like, that part of the game, I was just like, guys, come on. There was a part where Steven Adams and that post character got locked in, and then somebody got, I think Steven Adams got thrown in, and if you look at the upper right part of the screen, Draymond Green and Dillon Brooks have run into each other, and they've hit the deck. Then they called double technicals, double fouls. I said, good God, man. What the hell is going on around here? Like, somebody get some control of this thing. What you got coming up at the four?
Well, look, we've had a lot of conversations about the draft this year and the Texans draft this year in particular. We've been all over the map, rightfully so. We've covered it. We've covered all ends of it, right? I want to set the table for Texans fans out there. I want to try to bring it all together and just set the stage, Ron, for this draft right here tonight for the Houston Texans. I'm talking the needs, the tendencies, the history, the players they've been linked to, the whole thing, and just package it all up real nicely for the Texans. So if you're out there listening, stay tuned. We'll bring it all together. Texans draft 2025. We'll bring it all together for you. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.